Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. Got a great sermon entitled, All You've Got to Do is Ask. And this is just part one. Do you know your rights as a child of God? Most people don't. All you got to do is ask. Don't complicate that. I mean, St. John 14:14 said, ask anything, not something, anything in my name. That's big. I will do it. So let's go into part one right now, this great message entitled, All You Got to Do is Ask. And that is that simple, ladies and gentlemen, and then learn to receive what you ask for. Watch. Before I read this verse of scriptures in Psalms chapter 2, I've always had people ask me, how did I get what I have? Now that's spiritually, physically, financially. When we celebrated 30 years of Fritz Brown, Fritz, stand up so everybody can see. Fritz is my first employee other than Kathy. Fritz Brown, we're here. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, how long you been with me now? 31 or 32 years? 31 years, 19 days. It's percentages around here, you know. I was telling people about Fritz, my first employee, we needed people in our ministry. But we didn't want just anybody looking for a job. We wanted the right people that would go with us to the end of the journey. You see what I'm saying? So once you train people and you know you invest a lot in people's lives, you want them to be with you. If you can, if possible, unless God does something different, to the end, in a sense. And God was so good and gracious. And people have asked me, how did you get this? And how did you make your ministry grow? How did you become, and not, without sounding prideful or arrogant, a man of substance? How did you do this? And Fritz told me that when we celebrated his 30th anniversary here, he said he was amazed because he never saw anybody do what I did in ministry, walking down aisles, grabbing people, speaking words of knowledge, calling them out, saying very specific things and all those kind of things. People talked about it, but never acted on it. See what I'm saying? And you'd be surprised today how many people say, God gonna. And like I told you many times before, I don't live in the land of gonna. I live in the land of habit. When is he going to do this? I mean, you know, my God, it's about time we receive things instead of just say, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. You want to get to a point in your life where there's no more gonna, you see? In other words, because the Bible said, before you ask, he'll answer. So those are different levels and stages of faith as you grow to the fullness of stature of Christ. And I'm going to say something here. And I don't mean this to be critical of any church anywhere, but if you don't have if you're in a church that's not preaching what we're preaching here, you need to get out of there. Amen. I don't mean that in a rude sense. Let me tell you why. Because you're only going to grow to a certain level. Our jobs as ministers of the gospel is to bring sheep to the top. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that so I can make this church grow. Because I'm not interested in the biggest church in the city of New Orleans or in suburbs. But I am very interested in the strongest church. That's why I'm constantly talking about vision. That's why I'm constantly talking about dreams. Because everybody has them. But most people never act on them. You see what I'm saying? And it's sad to say that if God gives you a dream and you won't do it, so he has to give it to your child to perform it. You see what I'm saying? So we need to be constantly dreaming and having visions and dreams, because God said, old men shall see, will dream dreams and young men shall see vision. So dream and see. But you know, let me tell you why I have what I have spiritually, physically, and financially. I asked for it. Amen. Now don't complicate that. The title of this message, all you got to do is ask. I don't know why people struggle with that. All you got to do is ask. I always told my granddaughter, Meredith, you want something, just tell grandfather. Okay, I'll hear Kathy tell her, you have to ask your grandfather. She'll come up to me and say, grandfather, can we do it? Yes. I was waiting for her to say something that I might be the blessing I'm supposed to be to her and for her that day. I do the same thing with Jody. I think Jody's back there, I think. That's Jody. And so he's saying, I said, I don't know. I mean, if ask me. And, you know, and I appreciate it. I have only one daughter. She never asked me for nothing. She never said, Dad, you got, no. In fact, you know, they make their own money. They do on their own, her and her husband, they do their thing. That's not the issue. They don't need me. That's not the issue. But as a parent or as a father, I like being a blessing. And then sometimes the Lord is, most of the time, he's just wanting you to ask. You know, and you're thinking, well, I guess I've asked enough, or he won't do that. See, most people I know believe in healing, but they don't know if God will heal them. You know, they'll pray for you to be healed, but will God heal me? You know, when it becomes personal. So look what it says in Psalms chapter 2. And it's, well, let me read verse 1, and then I'm going to get to the verse that I want. Why do the heathen rage? You ought to be making the devil mad and all his cohorts. Why do the heathen rage? And I'm reading out the old King James Version, the book of Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, now how many of y'all are anointed? Everybody lift your hand up, you're born again. So they're going to be raging at you, see? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So in other words, God laughing at the fools. Every time somebody's trying to hurt your progress, spiritually, physically, or financially, if you believe what I'm about ready to say, God will laugh at them. He will physically laugh at them. It starts laughing in heaven and winds up laughing on the earth. Look what it says in the next verse. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now that's Jesus Christ, and we are therefore imitators of Christ. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. So Jesus was the firstborn of the dead. What is your number? How many of y'all been born again? You got a number. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus was lost like you were lost, but he was the first begotten, first birth, born again, in a sense. See what I'm saying? And there's a second, third, fourth, fifth, and everybody's got us a number. Now, this is where I want to get to in verse 8. He said, ask of me. He didn't say if it be his will. Now, that's where somebody on the... watching me go, whoa. Well, no. See, that's homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thought. You see, if you understand God's word, you're only going to ask what he wills anyway. Amen. You don't even need to be concerned about that. But yet they preach that so strong that they make you move in fear when you ask. He says, ask of me. Now, I did that. And I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. Now, what does that mean? I asked the Lord, I want the world. He said, so do I, Jesse. Give me heathens, Lord Jesus. And without sounding arrogant or prideful, this ministry is very successful in the born-again realm, in the salvation realm. I mean, people all over the world getting born again, even as I speak right now. That's why it's been successful. I asked. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. And now watch this. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Which means everything the earth has belong to me. But I can't get it unless I ask for it. You can't receive it unless you ask for it. You understand? You don't marry that woman. And when he said, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? You can't nod your head. Or say, I hope so. No. You got to say, yes. You ask for her hand. So I want to deal with that one verse there. Ask of me. All you got to do is ask. Point one. Listen to me. Write it down. Asking may seem too simple. But that is exactly what God wants us to do. It don't have to be hard to get God's attention. The church was always preaching hardness in a lot of areas. But all you got to do, why complicate something? Because faith is not complicated. Notice the reason why I say that children ask in faith, it is very simple. They just believe what you say. They say, Mama, I want this. And it's a very simple point. So asking may seem to be too simple, but that is exactly what God wants us to do. Now, why does he want us to ask? Write this down. Faith moves God. It moves God. When you ask him, you're asking in faith. And according to thy faith, so be it. So faith moves God. Why does it move God? It's progressive. It's producing. Fear of asking causes you to move back and forth. You see, when you put fear in your asking, you are tossed to and fro. And that's James chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. 6 verse through 8, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You see what I'm saying? Now, let me show you what I mean by nothing wavering. That's why your kid will ask you a bunch of times for that cookie. They ain't going to just send you one time, son. They're going to say, Mama, I want a cookie. If you ain't moving fast enough, Mama, I want a cookie. Mama, I want the whole jar of cookies. Just give me the whole thing. They keep coming at you. And they learn that from you because you did the same thing. So let me say it again. Asking may seem to be simple, but that is exactly what God wants us to do. It's a very simple thing. Why? Because faith moves God. Why does faith move God? Because it's progressive. But fear of asking causes you to move back and forth. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Amen. I have no fear in asking God. I have no fear in asking Kathy. I have no fear in asking you in anything. If something goes wrong, broke, even though I may be Richard Bartley's boss, I have no fear in asking. There's sometimes he can't do that. He'll say, you know, that doesn't work like that, Jesse. Oh, okay, well, fine. But I don't know that till I ask. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't have fear. The reason why God wants you to ask, he said, ask me, because you see, you got to, let me make it something. You don't, in the finance room, you don't realize how loaded God is. You ain't seen rich until you do the riches, do a study in the Bible of the riches of his glory. And you think you're going to exhaust God? You know what a trillionaire is to God? Not even an atom or a molecule. Come on. He owns the universe. Now they say there are multiple universes. He got all that too. My Lord, he flung the stars with his hands. My God. He made the sun 1 million times bigger than the planet you're sitting on right now. And that's a small one. We found another star that's 1 million times bigger than our sun. We found that, which is 10 billion times bigger than this planet. Just one. Full of every kind of element you can think of that man's searching for. Gold, silver, iron, uranium. Good Lord. Anything you can possibly in a financial room. That's why I don't struggle. When somebody gets mad at me and want to criticize me because of my prosperity, I thought, my God, man, it's all around you and you can't see it. Amen. And you live a life that you shouldn't have lived with a misinterpretation that Jesus was poor. Totally wrong. Totally, completely wrong. No, Jesus, he said, I became poor that you through my poverty may become rich. Now, when you leave heaven and you come to earth, that's poor. If you look at it in the natural. But yet, you ever hear Jesus saying, I just don't know if we can make it next week. Might not be able to make Capernaum or Bethsaida or Bethany. He just went. Do you see what I'm saying? And notice if you read his prayers to his heavenly father, it all had to do with asking. So let me say it again. Asking may seem too simple, but that is exactly what God wants us to do. Faith moves God. It's progressive. Fear of asking causes you to move back and forth. Now, write this down. The person who makes the word a priority doesn't have to fear about their requests being out of line. The person, that's you, who makes the word a priority, in other words, you live by the word of God, doesn't have to fear about their request being asked out of line. See, we preach saying that you ask amiss, and people do ask amiss. But if you make the word of God first place in your life, you won't have to worry, make it priority. You won't have to worry about your requests being out of line. You see, yet there's been preached out of line so much that they have actually erased the line. You don't even know where the line is. That's why you think it's out of line. You see what I'm saying? But all you got to do is ask. Ask. That's it. My Lord. I mean, you see, so I never worry about when I ask the Lord about anything. You know why? Howbeit, when the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost come, he would guide me in how much truth? How much? How much? Now, what does all mean to you? All. Don't complicate that. That is so simple that you need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it. Let me give you a prime example. Way back in Moss Bluff, Louisiana, way back in the beginning days of Jesse the Planet's ministry, when it was no longer, it was called Jesse the Planet's Evangelistic Association. God was moving in a revival. Oh, he was moving. And a person came to that meeting and he happened to be a pastor of a Baptist church. Now, I did not know he was sick. I knew that he did not believe in healing. Because, you see, but when you get sick enough, you start changing your mind.
Amen.
Because sickness hurts.
Yeah. Amen.
I didn't know that. He comes, but the pastor of that church knew that, so it gave him the honor of sitting on the first, well, it was not pews, it was chairs. Now, watch this. He was sitting there. He didn't believe in raising hands and the demonstrations of a Pentecostal charismatic type people. He was Baptist, Southern Baptist. That's cornbread and catfish, Southern Baptist. I didn't know he was sick. So the Holy Ghost began to move like he was moving Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. This morning, as the Spirit of God was, people were worshiping and praising. Now watch this. As I walked by, like I'm walking by this young lady here, the Lord said, "You see that man?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm going to knock him down." I said, "Okay." I mean, oh, that's what God want to do. That's what he want to do. Now, I didn't know that he was sick. I did not know he didn't believe in healing or any kind of demonstrative way of expression of the Spirit of God. So as I walked by, he had his hands like this. He didn't have them high. He had them like this. He didn't want nobody to see too much. Trying to be nice, you know. And his eyes is closed. And as I walked by, boom, the Lord just knocked him down. But the way God knocked him down, he went straight down like this. With his eyes closed and his hands like this. And then I look at him and I realize he don't know he's on the floor. And he's praying. Now, I couldn't hear his prayers. You know, I see his lips move, stuff like that. Now, I don't know what he was praying. But you know, God sometimes supersedes some people's doubts sometimes. He just go over it. So I'm standing here like this, and of course everybody in the church knows this man, and they are freaking out. So finally I just look like that, and all of a sudden he opens his eyes, and he smiled at me, and then he realizes he's on the floor. He just jumps up real fast. He said, "What happened?" I said, "You tell me." He said, "I was asking the Lord to help me understand what's going on in this church." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "You know, all the demonstrative things of spirit-filled people." And the Lord gave me why he was sick. And I said, "Your stomach's not hurting anymore, is it?" He says, "No." I said, "Bend over." He bent over. I said, "Come here." Bam! And I hit him in the stomach. I said, "Does that hurt?" He said, "It's a different kind of pain." I said, "Stand up." Bam! I hit him again. I said, "I want the pain that you had before." He wasn't there. I said, "Sir, you just believed in healing. God went over your intellect, healed your body." He says, "But I'm Baptist." I said, "Baptists need to feel good too." Got anything to do with your denomination you are? Feeling good means feeling good. Now, I asked him later on how long he had been having that problem in his stomach. He said about 2.5 years. And all he had to do was ask.
Amen.
Now, 2.5 years of suffering. How long you been suffering?
Amen.
How long you been broke?
Speak. Come on. Man.
When all you got to do Just ask.
Speak that word.
I know it's simple.
Come on.
It's too simple. Yes. You see, the real brilliant things are so simple that it boggles the intellect of intellectuals. Ladies and gentlemen, it really is simple. Jesus tells us to ask. It's what he wants us to do. Look, if God didn't think you could handle asking, he wouldn't have told you to do so. Look what Psalms 2:8 says. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. My God, that's a big statement. So what are you willing to ask for? Is it healing? Is it finances? How about salvation for someone you love? All you have to do is ask, then put belief with it, and God will do what you say if you believe him. But you got to do it, and you got to ask. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to help people receive this. It's such a simple revelation. I ask you to let it go inside of them now, that what they're asking for, they receive, because their belief and faith is working with it. I thank you for it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. See, that was just a simple prayer, wasn't it? Not hard. Not that many words. It's the same way what you're asking. See, the church was always told us we're greedy, we're greedy. You know, no, you're not greedy. I mean, everybody knows greed when you see it. See what I'm saying? All you want is what this Bible says you can have. Now, if that's greed, then something's wrong, and it's not. See, the Bible said, ask anything. I love St. John 14:14. Ask anything in my name. Now, the church wants to put all kind of stipulations on it and different things, you know. Well, if it be his will. He didn't say that. They said that. Come on. I mean, if you're walking in God and believing God and living for God, you're going to only ask what he wills. That's common sense, because the will of God is inside of you. Can't you see that? That's so simple. My God, I'm starting to preach here. Can't help myself. Kathy's coming right now with some glorious moments to bless the Lord, to bless you, and to bless me. Watch this. Kathy, take it away.
Hello, and welcome to Glorious Moments. It's such a blessing for us to tell the world about the glorious things that God is doing in the earth. And here's a few testimonies to encourage your faith today. This first one says, Jesse, I love you and Miss Kathy so much. I've watched you both on TV and in person since I was a little girl. I'll be celebrating my 40th birthday, and your partner letter was an early and timely gift. My children, my husband, and I so enjoy learning from you both and for constantly reminding us to ask big and just believe God no matter what. Thank you both, and thank you, Jesus, for loving me and for your beautiful word in season. Another says, last year I sowed a seed and asked that you join your your faith with mine for my daughter's car, debt-free. I want to report that Father God has blessed my girl with a debt-free SUV. I thank the Lord Jesus. I love that. And this one reads, I love your ministry, Jesse, and how bold you are with the truth of God's word. I have listened to you for almost all of my 45 years of walking with the Lord. I'm thankful that you have discipled me. Praise God, I have grown in faith. And this other testimony says, glory to God, I'm so grateful to be part of your ministry. You have helped me open my eyes and now understand the God I love. You know, I pray that these testimonies have opened your eyes to the goodness and power of our God. Be bold and ask your Heavenly Father for whatsoever you need or desire. Psalms 37 verse 4 says in the Amplified Classic Edition, delight yourself also in the Lord and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. That belongs to you today. I challenge you to believe it and trust God because he has a great plan for your life. God bless you today.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you will discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that he has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, he will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org. My August product offer is my new book, Give God a Job. And it goes along with our theme this year in Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. This book right here, is right in line with the sermon you've just heard. When you have faith enough to ask God for the impossible, you've given God a job. That's the book. It's time to cast out any fear or doubt about what God can do for you. I encourage you to get a copy today. Let me pull it back up and go to JDM.org. It's brand new, hot off the press. Give God a job. Oh, you'll be blessed by it. Partners, thank you for all that you do for this ministry. Nothing too small and nothing too big. Your faithful financial support has sustained this ministry for 48 years without a financial deficit. That's unheard of anywhere. And God has been so good and gracious. That's because I trust you and you trust me. We both trust God. And guess what? We get the job done. I've asked the Lord for every dollar given in my ministry to give me a soul into the kingdom. It can be a euro. It can be a franc. I don't know, whatever. All I know, God will do what he says. That's Psalms 89:34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. Partners, thank you. And there's never a day that goes by that me and Kathy don't pray for you. We prayed this morning in our daily devotion for all our partners, man. You are extended family, not just because you give finance, and I thank you for that. And I tell you what, I wish it was all free, but it's not. But Lord, we have got a connection together, a covenant connection. And it's amazing what God does for you and what God does for our partners. And he'll do a lot more. Yes, he will. Give God a job. And all you got to do is ask. That's so simple. You need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support. We believe in God for big things. Big projects are coming up real quickly. I mean, it's happening. Hallelujah. So do something today and let's get somebody saved. Okay? God bless you. We love you. See you. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Kathy Duplantis, senior pastor of Covenant Church, a local outreach of Jesse Duplantis Ministries. And I would like to personally invite you to come and worship with us. At Covenant Church, we are called to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are passionate about building strong families and faith-filled relationships. Services are Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. For more information, go to jdm.org/church. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Are you ready to dream and realize the impossible in your life? Our August partner offer, Unrealized Possibilities, is going to help you discover those hidden gifts and strengths within you that God wants to use. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you have or haven't accomplished, God wants to bring you to the next level. It's time to break through barriers, reach new heights, and live your dreams. Get your copy today at jdm.org. Did you know angels are real and many of them are here today? God's word is full of supernatural experiences by people just like you and me. Order your copy today at jdm.org. His will is for you to ask. He says in St. John 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you got to ask. All you got to do is ask. I keep coming back to that simple thought that is actually so profound.